B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yeah. Welcome in, everybody. Good morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. Welcome in, everybody, on Twitch as well. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. And Trey, you have a little treat for people today. You have a little treat. Visual media.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah. I'm just pointing out my birthday. That's coming up soon.
When's your birthday?
November 20th.
We were neglect. Jamie's birthday was on Monday.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
No. Yeah. Well, we missed it.
Next time, every mom call in, like my mom did, sabotage you. Ambush you, rather.
What was I going to say? Hey, guys, it's my birthday.
Yeah. Why not?
Nah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah, I got
you. We could have had cupcakes.
Why do you think we went to the salt cake? We ate your cake without you. No, we just didn't want to tell you it was a surprise party. Your whole family was there.
No, I had a great day.
Your daughter was there. It was great.
Yeah, so. Well, Addie, Skylar, and I did a little... Got one of my favorite beers in the world. Went to Monk's Cafe.
Oh, that's why you went to Monk's.
Yeah,
okay.
A little walk around Rittenhouse and some people watching. It was a nice day.
How many pounds of fries did you have?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't stop. Once you start...
And then once the Muscles broth comes out, it's just like, more bread, please.
How many loaves? That's how I eat the bread at Monk's. But you know what? Well, happy belated birthday, Jamie.
Thank you.
If you celebrate your birthday and you're over the age of 14, that's all you got.
Yeah, I got like socks. It was cool.
That's awesome, dude.
Actually, Addie got me a stovetop espresso maker, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, one of them.
Yeah,
I don't like those.
I'm a big red eye coffee guy. On the weekends now, I can have my red eyes at home.
I'm a black sheep of my family. I can't stand those. I think everything tastes metallic.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well,
you're putting down Addie's present to Jamie.
Hey, crushing his Jamie, I thought it was very thoughtful.
I'm
going to be all hopped up on
what
espresso.
What a stupid present, Mark said.
Yeah,
jeez.
Really. No, I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, he's an espresso purist.
That's like the purest form of espresso. That's like the best form of espresso, supposedly, in those little things. Like, they don't even, like, it's not even espresso over there. It's just cafe.
Yeah.
Cafe. Un cafe. That's the test in Italy. If you go up and you be like, un cafe? And they go, okay. You pass the test. They get you the espresso. Nice. But if you go, un cafe? And they go, espresso? You're like, oh, damn it. I lost that battle. Anyway, that's a sign.
So wait, what's your birthday, Trey? November?
November 20th.
20th. All right, we got to file that one away.
Yeah. It's right here on the calendar.
Yeah,
I have it. So, so people can see.
You do have a calendar for people to see.
Yeah.
Do me a favor and circle yesterday's date. The November 6th was yesterday's date.
Mm-hmm.
And just circle that just so we know the day that Sixers Twitter lost their freaking minds. It was nuts last night. Good God, people. Like, I know we're supposed to bang a drum and like be Pied Pipers and lead people to craziness and insanity, but people like calling for Brett Brown's job last night because of Raul Neto playing 30 minutes, which I do. It is weird. Raul Neto playing 30 minutes last night. You know, he's only played 30 minutes one other time in the last 3 years. Like, that's only happened one other time in the last 3 years of his career. I think total in the 4 or 5 years he's played, I think, 30 minutes maybe five times. Like, that's insane, right? But your point guard goes out, Ben Simmons, 10 minutes into the game. Your backups are going to log some more minutes. Jason Richardson's going to bring the ball up a lot more. It's going to be some insanity. But people freaking the hell out last night because Raul Neto was playing so much and because Ben Simmons got hurt with a injury that did not look like it was high impact at all. It was a typical shoulder into a chest type of play.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, the bigger problem was that he hit the ground hard a couple of plays before that.
Ooh.
Might have knocked something loose. Let me just tell you this. My favorite pastime, it used to be like baseball. Now my favorite pastime, it used to be eating. Now my favorite pastime is talking to Trey about non-football injuries.
He hit the ground. Oh my God.
Yeah. He hits the ground.
His shoulder is about to fall off. I need everybody. We need to fly the helicopter in here. What the hell?
It was not.
It was your right shoulder. You're left handed.
Supposedly, yes. So Ben Simmons hits the ground. All right. And then what? Like, what? Two possessions later, Bob? He tries to back somebody down on the block.
Yeah.
Puts his right shoulder into his chest. Gets rid of the basketball and immediately grabs his right shoulder. He's taken out of the game. He's taken to the locker room. Serena Winters comes over to the television and says, Ben Simmons, sore right shoulder, not returning to the game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my guy. I'm hurt. I don't know if I can go on.
And I'm thinking,
tell mom I love her.
All right, so here's the first.
Wait, what was that last part?
Tell mom I love her.
I tried.
Oh, my God.
He grabs his right shoulder, leaves the game, and they say he's not returning. And I go, that's weird. It didn't look like that big a deal.
No, it didn't.
But then they go back and they show the other play where he hit the ground beforehand. And I'm going, all right, well, all he right, kind of yeah. landed on his back.
He landed flush on his back.
I guess. All right. Yeah. And then they show the play again where he left. And I'm going, well, what the heck's going on? So this is where you first saw Sixers Twitter lose their mind. I saw on more than one occasion people tweeting about thoracic outlet syndrome.
It sure reminded me of it, you know, just a little bit.
But we never saw any impact with Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, exactly.
We never saw anything. We saw at least impact.
That's
with
why
the,
I'm
ben
looking
Simmons
at Ben
on two
Simmons
plays.
Injury too. I'm like, what happened here? That he had a sprain. What is it? ACL?
AC joint.
Yes. Yeah. You don't throw the L on it because
no,
correct.
No.
That's a different thing.
You go AC.
Yeah,
though.
Just
you stop
AC.
It at, okay. Yeah.
And acrochromatic in there.
Boo boo.
I don't know. That sounds about right.
But whatever it was, mm-hmm. he only played 10 minutes for you last night. Yeah. And no, in those 10 minutes, he did not attempt a shot, even outside the semicircle. A little circle, a little half circle. They didn't even attempt a shot outside that. Even that spot. He was 1-for-2 on the night last night in his 10 minutes of playing. And then you had an influx of Josh Richardson bringing up the ball. You had Howell Neto, as I pointed out earlier, 30 minutes in that game. And there were a lot of frustrating things. Like, the turnovers weren't crazy. Like, I think it was 14-13.
Yeah.
Right,
the
foul shooting was off the charts for the Sixers. They only missed, I think, three or four shots. They were 30-34. And then you look at the Jazz, and they weren't particularly great, but they just scored almost at when they needed buckets, they got buckets. But there's one play that has repeated. It's just on repeat since the game last night, Bob. And it was Joel Embiid with about a minute and a half left in the in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy Gobert has 5 fouls on him. Joel Embiid gets the ball in the paint, down 5 points, pump fakes, and has a fadeaway jumper on Rudy Gobert. You have an opportunity right there to be down 2 points. You get fouled, you get the N1, you're down 2.
Right.
Simple math. And Gobert's gone with about 90 seconds left in the game. Instead, they go down the other way, the Jazz do. He misses the shot. The Jazz go down the other way. They miss their shot. Then you have a situation where Joel Embiid then drives on Rudy Gobert with about 40 seconds left. And Gobert's out.
Right.
And then he's out of the game. You had about a 40-second swing where you still played with Rudy Gobert where you wouldn't have had to. And he would have only been down maybe 2 in the best-case scenario.
Yeah.
What the hell is Joel Embiid? He looked lethargic in the second half.
Go ahead.
Yo, it seemed to me like he was walking the green mile. Like he did not want to be out there on the court. You just had 2 games off from suspension. How do you make that type of statement and say, well, you come to Philly, you come to fight, and then you come into this game and you play like you're just, like they're pulling your teeth. Like this is something that you don't want to do.
You know, I was thinking of it last night, a conversation that Sam Hinkie and I had years ago, and he said, you know, one of the biggest things we like to do is charting the guy's first 3 steps, getting back, getting from offense to defense and defense to offense. Well, last night, I don't know how many times you guys see it on his 16 rebounds, grabs it, hands it off, and walked.
He was done.
Walked to half court. And then decided, you know, it was a little thing. Like, I remember, it might have been Brett who told me, Timmy Duncan, he just made it a habit that when the ball went from defense to offense, he just ran. He just ran.
Mm-hmm.
He ran and went down the other end of the court. Just put his head down and ran. And I've told you guys this story before when the Sixers were doing that, you know, 9-win season, whatever it was, 10-win season, and we're in San Antonio, and they're up like 30 in the first half. Timmy Duncan only played about 16 minutes that game, but it was 16 of the hardest minutes you'll ever see anybody play
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't take a night off. He didn't take plays off. They got to get that mentality going to him. They're not a smart basketball team, A. Josh Richardson had a horrible turnover late in the game, mm-hmm. that right after your time. Drove baseline. Has nowhere to go. Instead of dribbling out and starting over, he jumps in the air with the ball. Who can I throw to? Who can I throw to? Turnover.
Leaves his feet.
Yeah.
Howell Neto with about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He tried to force it down to Joel Embiid on the block. There's 2 Jazz just waiting for him.
Yeah.
I think it was Conley ended up getting the turnover and getting the score on the other side or on the other end. But yeah, it's like running the first base in baseball. Just run. It's like it's not that hard. Joel Embiid was gassed. Two games off because of the suspension.
It always seems like it takes him 2 months to get in game shape.
They were talking about how great of shape he was in.
I know. Exactly.
That was the first thing that was talked about, how great of shape he was in. He needs to realize how much this team feeds off his energy. And until he gets that, he will never be the leader for this group.
Mm-hmm.
Until he understands that this team feeds off of his energy. And when he goes out there and he mopes around and he's dragging ass, the team plays the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting worried about all this. And I think the players in the NBA are really trying to make an effort of saying 82 games is just way too long. And there's all this talk now because Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night on a national game. Load management. Are you serious? After 7 games, he's already missed 2. And people are talking. And Doris Burke went on and said, until it hits him in the pocket, which it may soon, the NBA's not going to do a lot about it. Joel Embiid dragging after missing a couple of games. Are these players subconsciously saying, 82 games is too much? I can't do this. I don't know, but it started feeding into my head a little bit last night.
He ain't playing 82 games anyway.
Yeah,
he's already 3 games in the hole.
Yeah. And 35 minutes last night was too much after not playing for a week?
Apparently, that's what it was for him. It seems like every single game he needs, every game he misses, he needs like 2 games to be able to get back in any semblance of shape. And here's the thing that bothers me the most, and this is what you're alluding to, Trey. When we talked to Brett Brown, a week ago, 2 mm-hmm. weeks ago, he had talked about how Joel Embiid was coming into camp, coming into the season, I should say, in the best shape he has ever gotten him in the start of a year.
Right. We all saw the six-pack in Bali when he was with Anna.
What modeling agency should I sign with?
It was obvious, too. I mean, it wasn't just people saying things. Like, we saw a clear weight loss and, hopefully beef up, and we all thought the same thing.
Yeah, and we haven't seen that. Now, look, it's 2 games that he missed, 3 games in total since the season started. He comes back last night, and in the first half, it looked like a guy that was like a marathon sprinter or a marathon runner will sprint whatever it is, the first half mile, whatever it is, to get away from the pack. He looked like he bolted out of the pack. And then by the time the fourth quarter hit, it was more fadeaways. It was more step back jumpers. It was like, go to the rim. Attack the rim. Get Rudy Gobert out of there. He had been in foul trouble. Joel Embiid himself was in foul trouble. But you have an opportunity. They're not going to call a charge on you in the NBA. The basket.
He seems to fall out of shape quicker than anyone I've ever seen. Like, even a couple years ago when he got the mask on and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Even coming back, it took him 6-7 games to regain his old form. And it's just, I feel like missing 2 games for him sets him back 2 weeks.
Go ahead, Bob.
The one thing you said, Mark, it just popped into my head. Brett did say that. He said this is the best shape he's ever been in coming into a season. Then he said, is he an A? No. But he's like a B+. Basically
so
saying
what was he, a C?
He's the best shape he's ever, but he's not in perfect shape coming in. Mm-hmm. And he'll play into that. The game is so much, Trey, you know this better than anybody. The game is so much easier to play when you're physically ready to play it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to worry about that at all.
You have to be mentally ready to play it too.
Yeah.
And once your mind is in it, because if your mind isn't in it, then your body will never get to it. And it seems to me like his mind is just somewhere else, especially after missing 2 games for getting in a fight. So this is your comeback game. You know we need you in this game.
Yeah.
Well, the first half, 17 points in the first half?
Yeah.
10 the rest of the way? I'm looking at him play, and I'm going, look at JoJo. Good for him. He's getting out of the gates quick. And then by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, he was gassed.
Well, he didn't score his first basket in the second half, I think, was, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter?
Maybe. And he was out till about, so he came back in at around 7:35 of the fourth quarter is when Brett put him back in because he had been in foul trouble. But I'm seeing people talk about, Joel Embiid and question him. I'm seeing people question Ben Simmons. I'm seeing people question, Brett Brown. And the thing that really, the name that you saw last night the most on Twitter that wasn't Ben Simmons or wasn't Joel Embiid, it was Trey Burke.
It's funny. I pulled up Twitter in here for the station account on our desktop, and it gives you the local trends on the side. Number 4.
No, please don't.
Was Trey Burke.
No, stop. Seriously?
I swear to God.
I don't know why people are looking at him. Oh, let's see what he's got. People don't get to watch practice, and if they don't follow the people that are at practice every day, the reports on Trey Burke have not been positive.
It's funny. My buddies, I have a bunch of Knicks friends from college, and they were all like, yeah, dude, Trey Burke sucks.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. People just haven't seen him in a game yet.
Yeah.
And they're watching Howell Neto turn the ball over and Josh Richardson turn the ball over.
I like Howell a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm not the question.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, they'll look at Trey Burke because they haven't seen him and go, oh, well, he could probably do better than what these jamokes are doing. And it's like, well, not really. he'll keep fighting that fight.
He's going to get his chance. I firmly believe, I was saying in the 5 o'clock hour, this is a Brett audition thing. I have that feeling that it's Raul Neto now. Pretty soon, it might be a 10-game stretch, 15 games, whatever it'll be. But I think Brett will get his look at Trey Burke, and fans will also.
Yeah,
I don't think it's all set in stone that Raul Neto is your backup point guard.
And we'll have a fine parade for it. We will throw a celebration. We will all get excited for Trey Burke Day in Philadelphia. But Trey, I promise you this: it'll be if it comes on your birthday, it's still going to be you this Trey Day, okay. Not that T-R-E-Y guy
who's
wasting letters like there's no tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? 610-632-0975. So obviously, we're going to get a lot into this game last night and Ben Simmons and what happened on that play. And if we're all concerned, and I'll say this, Tobias Harris, after every loss, you think it's game seven of the finals. Like, that guy hates losing. Mm-hmm. And I love Tobias Harris for that. And even Josh Richardson after the game, you got the same type of sense. Like, you don't see those guys smiling and carrying on in the locker room after a loss. And I give them credit for that because they give you the sense that they hate losing as much as you hate watching them lose. But we'll get into that. We'll cover all that.
Both shoot a little better.
Tobias Harris, absolutely.
Tobias and Josh. I mean, Josh had a good game last
night. Yeah.
But both, you know, a lot of the problems they're having right now are directly roles that Tobias and Josh need to fill.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. No question about that.
But yeah, no, they clearly hate to lose. Tobias looks mopey and angry after every loss.
He definitely does. So we'll talk about that and what the injury with Ben Simmons means and what we can expect from this. But an AC joint, minor was the word used, minor sprain. So we'll see what happens in the not-too-distant future. They go into Denver, the worst airport as we've talked about before. But they go into Denver, and we'll see how they fare there. But the other thing we're going to get into today is, normally I don't pay attention to lists, you know?
Right.
I feel like every website has a list that you're supposed to go and you check out and you get angry. But Chris Sims has been doing quarterback rankings for NBC for a couple of years now.
Right.
And Chris has worked his way up the ladder at NBC. He's gone from like Notre Dame football coverage. Now you see him on Sunday Night Football during Football Night in America and the halftime presentation and all that stuff. But his most recent list of NFL quarterbacks kind of started leading into something I wanted to get into today. Because
I thought it was interesting.
Very interesting. But being a bye week, being Thursday, and being that we've talked a lot about Carson Wentz, and people all want to say either you're 100% all for Carson Wentz, or this team needs to find a better quarterback, like whatever you might be, I think it's a very small, I think it's a loud minority that is, I don't know, hating on Carson Wentz. And saying that, you know, Nick Foles should still be here and they kept the wrong guy. And I don't want to get into the Foles conversation with that because that just makes me want to bang my head against the wall. But how good of a job is Carson Wentz doing as quarterback? Because if you're a Wentz hater or just someone that says, wow, Carson Wentz really needs to improve, this team's going to go to the next level, there is fuel for that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that there is necessarily a full tank of gas or anything like that. But, I mean, you talk about guys that haven't even been targeted. When other guys in this offense have failed you time and time again, you can look at a quarterback and go, well, why isn't he throwing to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Why isn't he trying to look at Matt Collins more, when, especially with the deep ball, when a guy like Nelson Agholor has failed him so many times? Why is he not going to those guys? Why isn't he? We had an argument yesterday. Somebody said he's not accurate enough. We called out plays where Carson Wentz does need to be more accurate. I don't think it's the biggest problem in the world. I think his receivers need to catch the damn ball to help him out a little bit. But how would you exactly rate Carson Wentz right now? And I just want to just say right now, is he passing your grade, your class right now? Is he failing? Is he a middle of the pack quarterback? And then I see this list from Chris Sims. And for the first time, now he's been out of the top 10 pretty much all season long, Carson Wentz has. But now he is bumped. He comes in at number 11. Happy coincidence, I guess. Carson Wentz comes in at number 11. Dak Prescott comes in at number 10. Jacoby Brissett at number 9.
Brissett's having a hell of a year.
He is having. Well, that Frank Reich's the magician. I don't know if you talked about that.
I think it's there's like one or two I disagree with, but I think Chris's list is pretty accurate.
I think it is as well. Now, he said this isn't a project. Now, we talked to him yesterday. I'm doing quick slants all week with Barrett. Getting a Derek Gunn has to do some barbecue at his house. Apparently, you know, taking bye week.
Week-long barbecue?
It's a bye week, Bob. Derek, the Gunfather's got a little barbecue time.
Okay.
So I'm in for Gunner, hanging out with Barrett. And, you know, we have Chris Sims on yesterday, so we asked him about the list, of course. And he says it's for basically today. Like, this isn't a projection over who he'd rather have for the foreseeable future. It's just who is playing well in the NFL right now. And I got to say, the names might not jump out to you as, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But Jacoby Brissett, Jamie, as you mentioned, is having a pretty good year for himself. Indianapolis doing okay for themselves offensively.
Yep.
And then you also look at Dak Prescott. Statistically speaking, he's doing okay for himself as well in that offense. Mm-hmm. Now you could say the offensive line of Dallas has been better, but you got a guy like Brandon Brooks, who has been just knocking guys on their ass, pancaking guys this season. And Lane Johnson's been playing well. And they have a little rotating left tackle situation going on right now with more so Andre Dillard. But just just looking at how they've played throughout the numbers and taking away opponents right now and just the bottom line, yeah, you could definitely make that argument for Dak Prescott being that one notch higher than Carson Wentz at this point, this season.
And one thing I look at with Brissett, if you look at the Colts, they've been in every single game. Most of them go down to the wire, which tells me that he's doing what needs to be done to keep them competitive every single week. When you look at Carson Wentz, you know, 37-10 versus Dallas and 38-20 versus... They got their doors blown off. Mm. So, like, yeah, it's fair to have Jacoby Brissett ahead of them this year.
Mm.
Which is kind of shocking. I never thought I would say that. Week 10 now of the NFL season entering the year.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
Neither did I. But then I'm like, oh, well, we do really praise Frank Reich a lot and say how much we miss him.
I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I know, I'll tell you this much. I know he's a great offensive coordinator. I know that much. But here's my question then. If you got to go with a simple grading system for Carson Wentz, A, B, C, D, right? What grade do you give Carson Wentz for this? Just his individual play as a quarterback. How would you grade Carson Wentz? Because I want to give him an A.
I'm B plus.
I forget the pluses, but I'm just saying. I hear what you're saying. I go B. I think he is playing at a B level. He's being paid like an A level, but I think he's B level quarterback. That's how he's played so far this season. Trey, where would you put him?
Give him A.
You give him an A.
Yep.
Why would you go now? So now, here's the response.
Wait. You didn't do all that when you gave your answer.
What's that?
Now you want to question me about my answer?
I thought I laid it out already.
All right. Well, yeah. This is why I think he gets an A.
Okay.
Because I mean, he's been out there making plays. I mean, he can't go out there and catch the ball as well. Mm-hmm. He has a receiving group that is leading the league in drops. I mean, of course you can make better plays, but hell, that's football. Anybody can make it. There's no one out there playing the perfect game.
Of course.
And also too, he has escaped several sacks out there. So I think that he's been playing pretty solid. I mean, you need other guys around you to step up.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough too when you're at that position. You need other guys to perform at the same level that you're performing at for it to look like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Bob, where do you go?
So if an A is a 92 and above, I give him a 91.7. Do I want to round it up to an A or give him a B? So seriously, that's where I am. Like, he's hovering to me right in that A area.
He's an A minus, five B and, plus.
Yeah, since we couldn't do
but
minus.
But we couldn't do minus and right, pluses.
Yeah, because
fine.
You know why? Take a stand.
That's right. So, you know, if I'm a teacher, do I round him up to an A or do I give him a B because he's not officially 92 or above? That's right where I am, like 91.7. 5-4 takes you from the A to the A range.
Wow, I haven't thought about the grading scale, like in terms of...
You don't have kids.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like 92.
Your day lives and dies on 85s and 86. You know, A's and B's and
Yeah, my parents do anything. A 90 was an A as far as I was concerned. Yeah, like so, you go in between the A and the B more.
Yeah,
or less.
I'm right there.
That's where I am too. Okay, yeah. But I couldn't go minus.
Yeah, Jim, because we take a stand on this show. Yeah. Nobody's on a fence. You say one or the other. There's no happy mix. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm a benefit of the doubt kind of guy. So I'll round them up to the A.
Okay.
91.7. The grade might not say A, but I rounded it up to an A.
Jeremy Lynch.
Since I really wanted to give a B+, that's what I think he is, but I guess I'm more B than A.
There you go. See? That's the answer.
Just because I do think there's times where he needs to get rid of the ball, maybe needs to be a little quicker in his reads, stuff like that. I mean, it's all minor. He's really teetering on an A for me, uh-huh. But if I'm more B than A just because of, frankly, the results.
Sam Wilson, where are you going for Carson Wentz? And we're going to make this the Twitter poll, by the way.
B plus.
No pluses,
no
Sam.
Pluses.
Oh, my God.
You can't follow directions.
You know what? You got game show brain. That's what
I
happened.
Do. I definitely have that.
You have game show brain. You were at a game show last night.
You asked her the question. She went like that. Like she was hitting a buzzer.
I can't wait to see you guys do it and see if your brains just freeze on the spot.
Probably will.
Yeah, you know I have memory issues anyway. So.
I know, right?
Are we allowed to eat? Because I'm used to eating dinner while watching a game show. Are we allowed to like bring out a pork chop?
I don't think so. Dion didn't even have a bottle of water with him.
This was the Philly feud, Mike Misnelli's Philly feud. We can't divulge any information. I heard you guys talking in the 5 o'clock hour. But nonetheless, we're not going to divulge any information. But here's what we will ask people. We will ask people for their letter grade for Carson Wentz to this point. A, B, C, D. That's what we'll go with. We'll just see how people.
I like this.
I think people are going to go with a B. I think the overwhelming majority will say he will go at a B because that's enough room for the haters to get their little 2 cents in because they think, oh, we think, because we praise Carson Wentz, he's perfect. Oh, you guys never criticize him. Yeah, I think most people are going to go to the B category, and that's where I'm at. That's where Jamie's at. And you said B plus, Sam?
Yeah, which, I mean, maybe I'll push it to an A minus.
No, there's no minus.
Can't go plus minus.
I'm just saying, so I'm at a B, but I could be pushed or persuaded to an A.
No, I just hear that you hate Carson Wentz. That's all I'm hearing. Yeah, that. Yeah. So now, just to give people the rest of this, this is how Chris Sims ranked him. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees.
Who's missed the last 6-7 weeks?
That's I have a problem with that Chris Sims fella.
So really, Carson is probably more like 12.
And I just want to get this off my chest before we even hit the first break here. Jimmy Butler can kiss my ass. There you go.
610-632.
There you go. That's my stance on it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Come back. We're going to focus a little bit more on that Sixers game from last night, go into some more details about why exactly the Sixers lost that game. What was it that the Jazz were doing against them that worked so well? Time to the Fanatic 622.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
If you're watching the game last night with the Sixers, there's one thing in particular that really made me go, you got to find a way to stop that. Please stop that. It feels like anytime you go to Utah the last 40 years, this is what they do. Have they been in Utah for the last 40 years? When
you're
they
on a roll.
New Orleans?
Just go.
The thing that bothers me.
All right.
Pick and roll.
They do it better than anybody.
I don't know. What is it, the air? Is it the sodium in the air? Is it the salt? Is it the old NA? What is it that makes everybody just incapable of defending the pick and roll? Since Stockton to Malone,
exactly.
The pick and roll has been the bread and butter of the Utah Jazz. And they did it again last night, whether it was Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, whoever. Every single time you watch them go down the court, you go, just watch out for it, guys. Call it out. Talk to each other. And they were killing them with it last night.
And there it came. And they play tough defense, too, which is also a trademark of Utah teams. You know, when Jerry Sloan was there, it was, hey, we fouled the other team 60 times. The refs are only going to call it 30 times. And they kind of still go by that. They just play that tough, tough defense. You're right about the pick and roll, Mark. It's frustratingly successful. And hard to defend, and the Sixers obviously probably could do a better job of it, but they have a pretty good pick-and-roll defending team. So, you know, yeah, you come out frustrated, and we talked about Joel at the beginning and all that, but if you can step back and look at it, they're on a 4-game road trip, which we saw at the beginning of the season was going to be really tough. It looks like 2 games were without Joel Embiid, and it looks like the last 2 are going to be without Ben Simmons. You still have a chance to come out of it 2-2. You know, you got to take that.
Mm-hmm. I think you do, too. Real quick, let's get an update on early returns in our Twitter poll. We just threw it out. Sam, what's it looking like?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning, we asked, what is your grade on Carson Wentz so far this season? A, B, C, or D? We have just under 350 votes. 73% say B.
73 or B? All right, so the majority, as predicted, going with B. What finishes second?
Second, we have a tie. 13% say A and 13% say C.
We are a divided nation. Mm. That's what we are. We're a divided nation, unfortunately. No, this is your chance. For all the people that say everyone's too positive on Carson Wentz, here is your opportunity to actually put a letter grade on it. Now's your chance. Take advantage. Let's get to Rasheem in North Philly. What's up, Rasheem?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
I think Carson Wentz, if you really want to grade him, just because the Eagles are 5-4, he's a C. I just think it's ways to improve the game, and his ways that he could play a little bit better.
Sure.
And based on the Sixers, I don't know how you guys question somebody's mentality. I mean, mental, and saying Embiid wasn't in shape. The man had 27-16.
Yeah, that's not questioning mentality. When we question his shape, that's not about mentality. That's just about – that's a physical thing.
Well, Trey said that I question if he's mentally in a game. Like, I don't understand how you question that by looking at the game. I don't understand. Where do you see that he's not in shape by watching the game?
I'm talking about the energy that he's playing with. It looks like – you did not see that he spent more time with his hands on his knees in that game?
No, I yes. really didn't. This man had 27-16 against Rudy Gobert, who's the defensive player of the year.
That's
he
cool.
In a game that he like he didn't perform. If anybody, it's Tobias Harris, who's getting paid $180 million, giving you 16 points. He should be averaging over 24 points, shooting 40% from three. Trey Burke needs to play more. In the last, 3 out of 4 years, he's been giving you 11 points, playing 20 minutes per game. So I think that Brown needs to go into where though you need to have a two point guards on the floor at the same time because, small ball is what's winning the NBA. Ben Simmons cannot shoot. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but you need more scoring coming, on the floor. And to me, I think Tobias Harris is the person to blame, not Joel Embiid.
Okay, so this is why I say Embiid, though, because I want to make sure. I feel like Embiid is the heartbeat of this team. And when he doesn't play with that same, you've seen Embiid when he plays with that energy, when he has his hands up in the air and he's really into the game. This game, I know that he scored, he had 20 something points. I bet that he was going to be on the over. I won on that. Was very pleased with that. But I still need him to play with that energy because the team feeds off of it. He's the spark plug of that team.
Absolutely. But he's banging with Rudy Gobert. I understand you want to see that energy, but when you're fighting in a post, I think you're wasting more energy by playing against a guy who's in a post majority of the game, and so it's not like he went against somebody from Los Angeles. I mean, somebody from the Magic. He went against Rudy Gobert, and he had great numbers. It was the players around him that should have stepped up. Josh Richardson is not your backup point guard. I hate seeing him at that position just because you have two point guards, Trey Burke and Raul Meadow, that could play that position. Josh Richardson is not the answer.
Yeah, as of right now, he's the answer. I mean, I don't have a huge problem with Josh Richardson. I know the aesthetics aren't good after a night where he had some turnovers and Howell Neto, had 4 turnovers himself. Mm-hmm. And he was asked to do a lot at the last minute, considering he played 30 minutes for a guy that went out after 10, like Ben Simmons did. But for me, you can't, questioning Joel Embiid's, mentality, I'm not doing that. I'm saying you've watched a guy physically get tired as the game went on. And there's no better example than seeing the 16 or 17 points he had in the first half and, what, the 9 in the second half?
Yeah, and I get it. Everybody should be stepping up playing better. But what I'm saying is Joel is the spark plug of this mm-hmm. team. And when he is hyped, when he has his mind right, especially coming off of a game where you just got in a fight.
Yeah.
And then this was totally opposite of the game that he got in a fight in.
Yeah, Rasheem does make a great point. And you and I are on the same page because we talked about it on air, about him walking up the floor and hunched over, hands on knees. And he did. He looked tired last night. But and I agree with that. And Rasheem did open my eyes, though. He is going against Rudy Gobert, which we talked about earlier, too. And he did put up really good numbers. And they only lost by 2. And the other guys didn't do much. But why didn't they do much? And you make a great point, Trey. Is it because they're looking at their leader and he's got hands on knees and walking up the floor?
How much of that time did he spend in the paint? Most of his game is around the perimeter.
Yeah, he's catching and going. Yeah, it is. Well, that's where he's at his best. At 12 feet facing a, whether fans want to realize this or not, that's when he's at his best. He's at his best catching the ball facing the basket from 12 feet and making his move from there. That's what the team thinks. That's what Joel Embiid thinks. And that's what they're going to do. For people to look at this back down, catch the ball at 5 feet, one dribble, slam, it's not going to happen right now. That's just not what they see as being his the best part of his game.
And he's nasty. Now I'm a big Joel fan, but I'm just saying, I just feel like at times that when his energy, it's like they feed off of him. And when he's not right, the team, you can just see it. The teams just, they don't flow the same.
Yeah, it becomes contagious for everybody else. And I think to our man's point there, when you look at a guy like Tobias Harris, they want to see more than, what, he finished with 13 points last night? Yes. 16 points. In a game like that where Ben Simmons goes out early, Joel Embiid starts to struggle late, you want to see a better performance from Tobias Harris. You want to see him definitely over 20 points at
least. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, especially
the shooting. Yeah.
If you're going to continue to shoot from the outside at the pace they are or the way they're constructed, Tobias has to be a guy that's going to shoot, 37-ish percent from three and kind of carry a little bit there. And we haven't seen it so far yet.
But look how that team, when Joel got kicked out last, what was that? Against Minnesota.
Timberwolves.
Just look at how the energy of that team was after that.
Yeah.
It's like they rallied. It's like they got a boost and they played even better after he left.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that when he's moping, man. Yeah, all I'm saying.
When you see, that's a good way to put it. When you see the hands on the knees, it's like, what? Wait, hold on.
Every time
he's
at the free throw line, hands on knees. Mm-hmm. Anytime he's at a point, hands on knees. He's walking up and down the court. It looked like, okay, he's sick again.
The people I look to are Tobias Harris and to Joel Embiid. If one of the guys goes out, like Ben Simmons went out, like when Joel Embiid got thrown out of the game against the Timberwolves, I'm looking at Ben Simmons, I'm looking at Tobias Harris. Well, this time it was Ben Simmons leaving the game, and now you have to have a guy like Joel Embiid take over. And look, he let him in points last night. That's great. But seeing how he got tired as the game went on definitely caught your attention. And then seeing Tobias Harris struggle from the floor again. I mean, most of his points came from the foul line, which is good. Yeah, you're getting the points. Fine. But we want to see that outside shooting threat that we didn't see enough of last night. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got Kevin. We got B-Hawk up next. Then we got Kevin. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, at 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by none other than United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. Trey, when we come back, we got to talk about, your home state again.
Yeah?
Yeah. People are putting things where they shouldn't be.
Well, you know. Hey, man.
It's a good hiding spot.
I guess I wouldn't look there.
I would never look there.
Yeah, no, never. Never.
Yeah, your home state, again, not exactly.
I mean, which
represent? You represent well.
Feel it. I feel like you're putting Trey in the corner here.
I mean,
he's gonna have to fight his way out.
No, I don't deny it. I know where I'm from. You know?
Good old Florida.
I'm just always when I see the story, I'm like, damn, I'm glad that wasn't one of my relatives.
Time of the Fanatic is 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, Trey. There's no explanation for how it happened, but people, doctors, actually, in the great state of Florida had to remove a screwdriver from a man's rectum.
He's getting screwed.
No pun intended. How long have you been sitting on that line?
I don't know. I just came to the same way you didn't just write that up.
I can't say why they couldn't remove it like regularly because it's too gross for 6:51 in the morning.
Early.
But they had to like open up the dude and take it out.
Yeah.
They couldn't just insert something else, pull it out, and you're good to go for the rest of your life.
Could use a wrench? Nothing like that?
Nah, no. I guess they were afraid that something else would get caught up there.
Mm. I don't know.
No, but they
couldn't. Seems like it wasn't the first rodeo. He was just trying to test his limits. What else can we do here?
I don't know, but here's the deal.
It's just wild.
That Allen wrench barely felt a thing. It's got a Phillips head up there.
Apparently, they won't even identify where the man was from in Florida. They would just said, people will get it. Like, the people that wrote this story, they're like, it doesn't really matter. They just know not Miami. That's all they know. It's everywhere else, but it's definitely not Miami. But the guy in Florida has to have surgery where they open up his the area, I guess, and physically remove the screwdriver that was stuck up the old rear
gluteus
door.
Maximus.
Gluteus Maximus, thank you.
You're welcome.
Come get your boy, Trey.
Da butt. That's what that translates to.
And
the
best is there's an X-ray of it. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, how did the thing get curved? You notice it's curved?
I didn't explore the picture that much.
And the screwdriver itself is bent.
Maybe it's one of those like screwdrivers that people use for the corners. Yeah. It has like the flexible arm.
Yeah, you're trying to get around the corner there with get a screw there.
Actually, you know what?
Maybe,
because he didn't go metallic end first. He went handle end first.
Hmm.
I mean, sometimes it's like ripping off a Band-Aid, you know? He's got to get it over with.
We're not giving too much information.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're getting there.
You know the three prong? This is literally at least one prong. B-Hawk in Philly, what's up, buddy?
Yo, bro.
Oh, by the way, the guy lived. Everybody's fine. Oh, yeah. B-Hawk, I'm sorry, buddy. What's up?
No, I'm not, nothing, brothers. Yo, the Carson Wentz great. I'm probably with everybody with the B thing. One thing, you know, it's one route Carson really had trouble hit that corner fade to the corner. He's been having trouble to drop that ball in right in there. But that goes with the team, so it's really hard for me to give a grade. We're going to see this week, but the Jordan Matthews, I don't even know why they aired that on ESPN. I don't even know why they even put that out there.
What? Jordan Matthews tweeted out himself. Yeah, well, that too, but Jordan, what I'm saying is Jordan Matthews tweeted out himself that he's back with the Bird. So we kind of, you know, that's the deal. That's what's happening here. But I'm watching they released the highlights of when he was playing with Carson Wentz before, and they released a highlight of the, 34-yard reception that he had with Nick Foles in the playoffs last year. And what was really interesting for me is, and he's not a burner by any means, and he's never been that in his career, but watching a guy catch a football behind the defense is a sight to be seen when it comes to the Eagles offense, because we never see it anymore. So Jordan Matthews has that capability of doing that. We've seen it a couple of times, and he also can track a football. How novel.
Track a football.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Like, you're right about it. He's like, it looks like a Jason Avant 2.0. But, yo, also with the league, yo, man, it's like deja vu. I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going front, man. By January, we got to get this together because we got another player that can go downhill that added a top-of-the-key three-pointer, and he filled the stat sheet up. Giannis went off, and he can go downhill just like somebody else that's on our team. So that's why sometimes I'm a little bit rough on Ben to evolve with your game. But, you know, some teams are evolving. I watched the Orlando Magic and Mavs game. It was shout-out to see Markel Fultz start, and you had Carter Williams giving 13. Not saying that we need those guys, but they need a new scenery. But the East right now, it's going to be a little bit of a battle, but seeing Joel Embiid bang with those guys, this is what you're supposed to do. It's all good to beat the Atlanta Hawks and all that, but we wanted to see when you go West. Because this is now we got the Nuggets again. You got to get it together, bro, because I'm a little bit now, I'm like, all right, we're starting to see what's going on with this squad now, and it's not a game right now. When you go West, it's all good to roll to East, but when you go West, you can't have your hands on your knees. You got to be ready to bang. Remember, you're the most dominant player in the world. We want to see numbers like that, but as fans, we deserve to see that all across the board. And Tobias, you're in the frying pan too, champ. Let's get this thing together.
Yeah, I'm with you, B-Hawk. Thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate you. Yeah, the thing with Tobias Harris, I think a lot of people, that'll grow as the season goes on. It is already 7 games in, starting to catch people's attention, how much money that guy's making, and how much more you want to see from him, especially if Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid are going to miss time. And he had back-to-back 20-point games before he went into Salt Lake last night. But last night, only 16 points when you're missing Ben for the amount of time that you were. You want to see a little bit more there.
Yeah, and Phoenix, in the first half against Phoenix, he was just on fire. He was carrying the team, and you want to see some more of that so that the 16 is a constant 24 and all that. I think he'll be all right. I think there's a lot of figuring out that Brett Brown does this, and I used to look at it and say the patience that he had to put things in 10-game increments, I'm going to look at this for 10 games, and I'm going to look at that for 10 games. I think he's still doing that. I think he's still trying out different things, so it might be a little frustrating for fans at the beginning, but They're fine. I mean, you know, like, we can nitpick, and I'm not, look, I'm not blowing it off. I don't like their laziness at times. Their IQ, basketball IQ, bothers the hell out of me on a daily basis, but they're pretty good. They're going to be pretty good.
They gave away too many uncontested shots last night, though.
Yeah, that's, high pick and rolls, fine if you get beat on, but have a recut. Like, when they wanted to, they would double the ball and just make different things happen, and it was like, oh, okay, we'll do that, like, once in a while more or something. But you're right, Trey. They got beat on the pick and roll, and it was like, oh, what do we do now? Well, you should be ready for that. You should be ready on a high pick and roll that if it becomes a 4-on-3 situation, how are you handling it? And they don't – their basketball IQ just bothers me.
And the three-point line was always there, too.
It seems like it always is against them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're not running teams off three-point lines consistently.
Yeah, and Bogdanovich got way too comfortable beyond the arc last night for my liking, especially late in that game. But you know what? The Sixers, they had their opportunities. And the play I go to, when you talk about basketball IQ, I don't know if this is IQ or if this is just a guy being tired. But the play that bothered me the most last night of all of them, I mean, there's dumb turnovers. Like, James Ennis, I believe it was in the first quarter. He has a little, like, loft pass to Ben Simmons, who was only 5 feet away from him, and Ben Simmons wasn't even turning around looking for him.
Yeah, hit him in the back.
Yeah, it was like, and they get 2 points the other way, the Jazz do. And I'm looking at it and go, that's stupid. Like, nobody's tired at that point. Ben Simmons is still in the game. First off, why is James Ennis bringing the ball up? And he had a play earlier in that same quarter where he actually drove the baseline, threw it down, and actually, oh, James Ennis making a play. Good for you. Then, like, next possession, it was a turnover by him. And I'm like, oh, that's just a low basketball IQ. Raul Neto trying to force it down low, but of all the turnovers and all that stuff, the play that actually bothered me the most was when you had about a minute 20 left in the first or in the game. Joel Embiid gets the ball down low. He's up against Rudy Gobert. Gobert's got five fouls, and Joel Embiid pump fakes and fades away from him. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to get him out of the game, possibly get a 3-point play right there, and then the next thing you know, it'd actually be, I don't know, winning maybe. I mean, you had an opportunity to get rid of their big man, who's one of the best in the game, and you had an opportunity to get rid of him with about a minute 20 left in the game, making a 2-point game. I kind of like their odds in that scenario.
Sure. And it's what bothers me, too, is, Mark, you put it perfectly. How many times do you say as a coach, no, go into him, into him? So if you say it once, it should be remembered. It seems like with this team, it happens, and then it happens again, and then it happens again.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.